And our Bible study this morning begins in the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Now, Luke's profession was medicine. He was a physician. Luke, the beloved physician, he is called. He is a Gentile man. And so a couple of the things that we're seeing in our study of Luke is, first of all, the ministry of the Lord Jesus through the eyes of a non-Jew. Excuse me. Luke emphasizes the humanity of Christ rather than his divinity. Now, he doesn't diminish the fact that Jesus is God, but when he quotes Jesus referring to himself, Jesus typically refers to himself in Luke's gospel, the way Luke records it, as the Son of Man, as opposed to in Matthew's gospel, for example. Matthew, being the Jewish fellow that he was, is very much concerned about identifying him as the Son of God. John, the same way. And so we talked at some length about who Jesus is and what Jesus is, as it were. He's both the Son of God and the Son of Man. And here through the Gospel of Luke, we see the emphasis on his manhood. Excuse me. Now, in the last several weeks, we've been seeing this healing Jesus, this delivering Jesus. His ministry has begun. He is going from place to place. In Nazareth, what was he able to get done? Nothing. Why couldn't he do anything in Nazareth? Because of the unbelief of the people. Then he went to Capernaum. What was he able to get done in Capernaum? Almost anything he wanted. He was casting out devils. He was rebuking fevers. He was healing people of all kinds of diseases and casting out demons. And the difference we noticed between his ministry in Nazareth, his hometown, where he said a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. He couldn't get anything done there, but he went to Capernaum, and they just accepted him for what he said he was, and he was able to do many, many mighty, wonderful things there, which we see a continuation of here in verse 12. Now, he had left Capernaum, and he's preaching around the region of Galilee. Now, we talked at some length about the importance of his preaching ministry in addition to the ministry of the miraculous. Let's begin to read here in the 12th verse. We're going to talk again about healing and deliverance today, because that's the subject that we come to in our reading. Gene Moore, let's begin with you, please, in Luke 5:12. Now, we're going to find out something interesting this morning. I want someone to take the three words, "if thou wilt," and put them in today's language, "if you will." Okay? "If it be your will." That's the phrase I'm looking for. How many times have you heard church people pray, "if it be your will"? Now, a person who prays, "if it be your will," what is he saying? I don't know what your will is. I'm not sure what your will. In other words, if you knew what the will of God was and you were praying in accordance with the will of God, you would never ask, "what is your will?" Would you? When you're a child, all right, and your mama says, "come to dinner," and you belly up to the table, you don't ask your mom, "if thou wilt, I'll eat." You know what her will is. She's put it on the table for you, hasn't she? And she's called you to dinner. So you say, "pass the biscuits." Hey, you don't say, "if it be thy will, pass the biscuits." You say, "pass me the biscuits. I would like to have a biscuit." Well, the same thing is true in a much more significant way, obviously, in doing business with God. It's important for us to know what the will of God is. Look at John chapter 15 and verse 7. This is a wonderful, powerful, and illuminating verse. John 15, 7. "If ye abide in me," Jesus said. What does it mean to abide? To live. Where you live is where you abide. Jesus said, "if you live in me and my words live in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Now, that is a very broad promise, and there is only one condition for that promise. This is a wonderful promise in prayer. Ask whatever you will, and it will be done for you. What's the condition? No, not in this particular case. Live in the Word. Live in the Word, and let the Word live in you. Why is that important? You will know it, because His will is His Word, and His Word is His will. If you want to know what the will of God is, you don't ask anybody but Him. Go to His Word. That's where His will is. Now, Gene answered the question a moment ago. The condition is to believe. And there is a believing condition, obviously. But if you live in the Word, will you believe? Because where does faith come from? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Now, here two things happen if you live in the Word of God. Two things happen. One is you'll know what the will of God is. And when you pray, you will have sufficient faith to believe for it. Are you listening? And does that make sense? Anybody want to take issue with that? It's good, because it's true. It's true. Okay? Now, when we miss it, the truth is, we missed it. And do we miss it? Yes, we miss it. Whose fault is it when we miss it? It's mine. Yeah, it's our fault. Okay. Now, until we accept that, you know, we have a generation. We live in an age. Can I say this? We live in an age where nothing is my fault. Those of you that are raising kids know what I'm talking about. Because unless you stay on this all the time and require your children to accept responsibility for their own actions, the culture that we live in drives us to blame someone else or something else. And it is a cultural thing. It hadn't been that way in our land forever, but it certainly is now. And the same thing is true in dealing with God. We want to blame God. We want to blame anyone or anything. We do not want to take responsibility for ourselves. This is why this passage that we've been studying here from 4 to 5, this business of what happened in Nazareth compared to what happened in Capernaum and these other cities around Galilee are so very important for us. Now, this ought not to... Now, listen to me. Listen to me just a moment. Accepting responsibility for our own actions is not to condemn ourselves or anyone else. Because if we condemn ourselves or anyone else, are we helping ourselves? We're not. What did Jesus do when he went to Nazareth and the people in Nazareth, the scripture says, he could there do no mighty miracles. What did he do? Did he berate them? What did he do? He taught them. He taught them. It says he went about their villages teaching. And that's the answer for this particular problem. Okay? Now, let's look again at what Gene read. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I know if it is your will, you have the ability. Now, this man has a problem, doesn't he? What city is he living in? Is he living in God can? Or is he living in God will? He's living in God can, isn't he? He knows God can. Isn't that where most of us live? We live in God can. We know he can, but we don't know he will. Now, if we could just transport ourselves from God can to God will, we can get it. That's what this man's trying to do. Move me to this other city. Move me from where I am to where I need to be. If you will, you can. Make me clean. Now, here's Jesus' answer, Pat. You have the privilege of giving us the answer. Now, when he was living in God can, did he have the leprosy or no? He still had the leprosy. When he moved over to God will, he dropped his leprosy on the way, didn't he? You see it? Now, he said, if it be your will, what did Jesus say? I will. The man said, if it be your will. Jesus said, I will. Now, some will say, okay, if that would just happen to me, if I could just tell Jesus, if it be your will, and if I could just hear him say, I will, then I could make the transition. But he said it here. Now, is this the only place he said this? No, it's not the only place he said this. In fact, that's the same one. I was thinking of another place where he said exactly, but it was exactly the same event. I'm thinking in terms of the scripture that says that God is no respecter of persons? If he said, I will to this leper, then what would he say to somebody who had the dropsy? What would he say to somebody whose son was vexed with a demon? Is that right? Is it? Have we seen any place so far where Jesus said, I won't? Has anybody seen one like that? Have you ever seen one in your reading where he said, I won't?
No.
Okay. There is one. Huh? There is one. Yeah, let's listen now. Let's listen. Let's all concentrate on the same thing. What was it?
The lady was asking for food for her children.
Okay, that's you got the story. The details are not there, but you got the story right. Okay, this is a woman whose daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. And she came to Jesus and he was on vacation. And do something about my daughter. And Jesus said, you're a Canaanite woman. I didn't come for you. I came for the... She said, well, the children eat the bread on the table. The dogs eat the crumbs. Just give me some crumbs. And what did Jesus say? Remember, he said no first. Okay? Now, he wouldn't say no today, would he? Because his gospel has been released to the Gentiles. At that point, he would come only for the people of Israel. All right? It wasn't time yet. Okay? So this is not appropriate for today, but to answer my question specifically. Okay? Now, when he said, I won't do anything about that because this is not your time. And she said, the dogs get the crumbs. I know I'm a dog. Just give me some crumbs. What did Jesus say? Huh? Something like that. Yeah. What did he say? Okay. Yeah. he delivered that woman. We're going to see this story in Luke's gospel. Let's see if I can put my finger on it now. Where Mark is, I believe Mark is where I normally see that story. Do you know the? That's something I can't put my finger on it right now. Yeah, they must have moved it, Mary said. I know where it is, you know, in my Bible. But I can't put my finger on it. Okay. Well, I guess we don't need it for this morning. The point I'm trying to make is that it is always the will of God to heal. It is always the will of God to heal now. When we pray, we ought to never pray in our healing prayers, if it be thy will. And we'll say that again. It is always the will of God to heal according to the scripture. Now, listen, I'm not teaching here according to our experience. I'm teaching according to the word of God. It is always the will of God to heal. It is always the will of God to heal now. And when we pray for healing, we ought not to pray, if it be thy will. Mark 7. Oh, there it is. Yeah. Mark 7:24. I like the Matthew one better. Matthew 15. Yeah. Yeah, he did it, but verse 24 says, he says in essence, no, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of Israel. Verse 28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. As thou wilt. The Lord gave me a message from this passage of Scripture one night. I'll never forget this. And he, as I was reading this, he showed me that the most powerful force on the earth is not the power of God. The most powerful force on the earth is your will. because your will can limit. According to the Psalms, they limited the Holy One of Israel. Our will can limit him. Our will can loose him. He has limited himself to our will, in a manner of speaking. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus said, this is not time for you and your daughter. I'm not sent to you. This doesn't belong to you. But she said, all I want is the crumbs. Jesus said, be it as thy wilt, as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Okay, now let's go back to Luke 5 again. The point is this. So the leper says, if it be your will. Jesus said, it is my will, be clean. And immediately the leprosy departed. Anita, verse 14.
And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your family as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded.
Now, if you want to read that, go to Leviticus 13. Read the 13th and 14th chapters of Leviticus, and you'll see where Moses had explained that when a person has had leprosy, if he gets healed from his leprosy, that there was a procedure that he was to go through to the priest, was to certify that the leprosy was gone, and then he could be restored to the people. Remember, leprosy is a very contagious disease, and in those days, the lepers were required to live separated from the rest of the people. Excuse me, and they lived together in leper colonies, as it was until very recent years, even today, that was the case. And Moses, under the direction of the Lord, had given a sequence of evaluations and so on that the priest would make to be sure that the leper was completely clean. And then after he was certified clean, then he would offer some sacrifices unto the Lord in thanksgiving for his cleansing. Now, the fact that Jesus would tell him to do this tells us something about the ministry of Jesus. Now, if Jesus healed you of leprosy today, would you do this? Would you do what he told you to do? Go to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing and so on. Would you do this? Why? We're not under that covenant. We have another covenant, don't we? No, he wouldn't tell you to do it. No. No, if you were healed. So what does that tell you about the time in which Jesus ministered? He was ministering under what covenant? Out of the old covenant. Now, it's important to recognize this because many of us, because the Gospels are in the New Testament, we think Jesus ministered under the New Testament. But the New Testament did not come in until after the crucifixion and the resurrection. And so everything up to the end of the Gospels. Now, Acts forward is New Testament Christianity. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is Old Testament Christianity. Jesus is ministering as a man, he's ministering as a prophet, he's ministering under the Old Testament law. Galatians chapter 4 says that he was born of a made of a woman, made under the law. We've been studying this on Wednesday night. And over and over and over again, like this, we see that Jesus, remember he is saying, don't you think I came to overturn the law? I came to fulfill the law. Not one jot, not one tittle will pass away until all be fulfilled. And all wasn't fulfilled yet. All was fulfilled when? When the innocent lamb's blood was sacrificed, when he took that blood and took it to the altar in the tabernacle in heaven and offered it there. The one and once and for all offering for all sins, that's when the old covenant passed and the new covenant came in. Read the book of Hebrews, okay? Now that, I just make the point there because as we go along, that will be an important consideration for us in understanding why Jesus does some of the things that he does. All right? So, verse 15, Fran.
So much more with their fame abroad him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmity.
Okay, next.
And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed.
Okay, so he needed, there were periodic times during his ministry that we have recorded that it was the press of the people, the press of the duty, and so on, that there were times when he just felt the need to withdraw to a place of solitude and aloneness, just he and the Lord. Sometimes he would take his disciples with him. Sometimes he would go by himself. But if he was going to have anything to provide the people, then he had to, he didn't have it in himself. Do you understand? If he was going to give something to the people, he had to get it from somewhere. And that's the way it is for us. You know, moms, dads, pastors, teachers, not just spiritually, but even physically. We need times of the word recreation comes from the root recreate, make again. We have need for times like that. Otherwise, we're not going to have anything to give. And if you just keep giving and giving and giving and giving and giving, for you, I mean, you're going to give out. And you just get to the end. You can't do that. You just absolutely cannot. And we need to make provision. If it was okay for Jesus to do, then I guess it's okay for us to do. Does that make sense to you? Okay. Okay. All right. Now, when the multitudes came, in verse 15, when the multitudes came, what did they come for? They came for two reasons, didn't they? They came to hear and to be healed. Okay. The ministry of Jesus, haven't we been talking about the ministry of Jesus? What was his ministry? To preach and to heal. Two ministries. He preached and he healed. What did the people come for? To hear and to be healed. What is the ministry today of the body of Christ? Same thing. To preach and to heal. What will the people come for? To hear and to be healed. Okay? You understand that? The church has a healing ministry today, as well as a preaching ministry. If Jesus had a healing ministry, the church has a healing ministry, because the church is the body of Jesus. He did say about himself, didn't he, that the Lord had sent him, God had sent him and anointed him with the Spirit to heal the brokenhearted. And what you mean is in addition to, not in place of, physical healing. Yeah. Okay. Right. Right. Okay. Anybody else want to comment on that before we move to this? Oh. I don't think I want to move to this next section in the time that we have today. Do you want to add to anything that we have said thus far? I'd just like to add to that, that this, like most everything else, more of it is caught than taught. And children learn how to accept responsibility for their own actions as they watch their parents be willing to accept responsibility for their own actions. You're driving down the highway and you're going 75 in a 55, and the kids are in the car with you. Now you have an opportunity here to take responsibility for your own actions. That was really stupid. I was going 20 miles over the limit, and whatever the officer tells me to do, that's, you know, whatever the fine is and so on, I should pay that. Not, oh, I wasn't going too fast. And here we, you know, argue against the officer. Or explain that, I was in a hurry to get somewhere, or we have all of these reasons why I shouldn't get this ticket. And the kids are sitting in the car listening to this. And that is how these values are established, when they watch dad and mom accept responsibility for their actions. Or dad comes home and, mom has scratched a car up that day. And at the dinner table it comes out, what happened to the car today? And mom says, it was something that was her fault, and the kids know it, but she has all of these reasons why it wasn't her fault. It was somebody else's fault. They parked too close to her, or they moved the gas pump, you know, when she was in the store, or any number. It's like, how fast was that guy going when he backed up into you, you know? That kind of thing. I mean, these are things that go on in our homes every day. And moms and dads, not, you know, some of us are past that now. We're dealing with grandkids, but some of us still have children that we are showing examples. And I tell you, kids grow up like their parents. Someone said, this is not the word of God, but someone said an apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. And there's a great deal of truth in that, that you can really tell what kind of parents raise these kids if you just watch the kids. And when I say kids, I mean as they grow up, because more is caught than taught. You can say it, but if you don't live it in addition to saying it, they won't learn it. They will learn to mouth the words, but not really live the life. Yeah, okay. Anyone else? Anything else on the lesson today? Okay, next week. Next week's lesson, this story of the paralytic that the four friends let down through the tiling is a marvelous, marvelous story on the subject, especially on the subject of healing and God's will for healing. And if you have any questions about this subject, anything that I said this morning or have been saying in recent weeks, don't miss our time together next week, because it really, when you see this, when you see there are two very specific, very definite, and very wonderful truths taught in this next passage from verse 17 on through verse 25, 26, that ought to strengthen all of us in our confidence with regard to the will of God in the subject of healing. Okay? So don't miss next week's lesson on that subject, okay? Okay, well, let's have a closing prayer, and then we'll be dismissed.